Hi, this is Brad Friedman, and you're listening to an encore rebroadcast of The Brad Show on Raw Radio. Don't bother to call us, because ain't no one gonna answer your calls.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
With you one more time, another week, January 30th, 2005. This is your Brad Show via Raw Radio, live on the air, coast to coast and around the globe via the IBC Radio Network. Once again, it is the unstoppable power of the citizen investigative blogger, that would be me, Brad Friedman, backed by the goodwill and vigilance of at least six or seven of the greatest American freedom fighters in the land. Yes, you know who you are, the good citizens of the Internet, fueled by the indefatigable truth of Internet journalists from RawStory.com. The Brad Show is now on the air and cutting straight through the mainstream crap, live on the airwaves. It's time once again to be the media, because someone's got to. Yes, we have got such a huge show for you today. 4 hours of Hall of Fame broadcasting. That's right. It is. We have so much radio, we should be canceled right now. That's how good the show is tonight. I say that in advance, of course, of the actual show beginning. But nonetheless, what could possibly go wrong? Give us a call tonight. We've got an amazing lineup of guests. We'd love to hear from you. The phone number here in the studio to talk to me or anyone else, 323-650-1286. That's 323-650-1286. Gregory, why are you laughing at me? No, it's right here. I got the number. Be nice to you. We'll see how it goes. Man, I'm not on the air 2 minutes. He's already laughing at me. You can send us email, brad@bradshow.com. Maybe I'll get it. And, of course, you can participate over at bradblog.com in the open thread, where the official Brad Blog, Brad Show concierge, our friend Winter Patriot, is keeping an eye on things on the open thread, hosting as usual, doing his amazing usual job. Let's see. We have the usual crew here as well. We've got, as I said, Gregory Hayner already trying to screw me up, our intrepid engineer. He's taking off next week, however. So we have our standby engineer, Henri. That's right. A French guy is going to be engineering the show next week. What could possibly go wrong? Speaking of French guys, we have our associate producer up there, Desiree Doyen. The whole damn show is a bunch of Frenchies. Desiree Doyen, and of course out in the woods somewhere or other in internet lands, wherever she is, Kat Lestrange. See, so you see we've got Desiree, Lestrange, Henri. No wonder they hate us. Then, of course, yeah, I know. I'm getting to them. Actually, Desi, I want to talk about you. You're wearing you look fetching in your Brad Blog t-shirt, which I would recommend everyone go out and buy. Our friend Winter Patriot will tell you how to get there. It's bradblogathon.blogspot.com. Did you get that? We need a better name for that. Anyway, go get yourself a Brad Blog t-shirt, and then like Rush does with his stupid, insulting, terrible, hate-filled Gitmo t-shirts, you can go out, take a picture of yourself wearing your Brad Blog t-shirt in front of an interesting national monument or out in front of Tom Feeney's house or something like that. Send it in to us. We'll put it up on the Brad Blog. And maybe we'll send you some Be the Media bumper stickers or something like that, as your reward. So go get one of those. Yes, I know, the mighty Jamie Robledo, also associate producing tonight. He may be the one who answers your calls if you call in. He is, of course, here. And he needs me to mention that he played a doubleheader this morning for the Sacred Fools Theater softball team and hit a home run. Is that right, Jamie? I can't see Jamie. Lean over, Jamie. You hit a home run? And speaking of home runs, I hear you have a date tomorrow night. Is it a blind date? You mean she knows you and she's going out on a date with you anyway? Wow, there must be some mistake. Good luck on that, Jamie. On tonight's enormous broadcast, Jim March from Black Box Voting. I got to move this down. Here we go. Jim March of blackboxvoting.org on his felony arrest at last Tuesday's mayoral election in San Diego. And the big news yesterday, of course, about the evil voting machine company Diebold getting kicked out of California. See you later, Diebold. It was really nice, but you gotta go. He's going to talk about that shortly, this hour, in fact. So if you have a question for him, call now. Don't wait. A little bit later, Colleen Rowley, the FBI's original whistleblower. That's right, you remember her after 9/11. And, of course, Time Magazine's Person of the Year 2002, officially the first Person of the Year ever on The Brad Show. That's pretty cool, huh? Next week, Hitler. All right. She's going to be here to speak about ethics in Washington, D.C., and her just announced run for the U.S. Congress in Minnesota. So, you 9/11 folks, I know you're out there. Feel free to give us a call when Colleen is on. Also, Carl Canetta of the Project on Defense Alternatives on his plan for getting the hell out of Iraq in 400 days. Yep, we'll take it. 400 days, I could do it in 400 hours, but oh well. We're going to find out what he has in mind. And Patricia Burney, yes, of the Tucson Raging Grannies, who got into some trouble last week up in Tucson. You'd think the military has more problems than to pick on raging grannies. But no, she's going to be here to talk about that as well. We've got a surprise for Brad Blog fans. We'll tease you on that all night long. But stick in there with us for the next 4 hours, and you will hear a special treat for you Brad bloggers out there. This portion of The Brad Show is made possible in part by Voters Unite. VotersUnite.org, the national nonpartisan organization dedicated to fair and accurate elections. God bless them. VotersUnite.org is the home of Mythbreakers, facts about electronic elections. This collection of information is essential to those entrusted with making decisions about election systems in the United States. Hey, yo, Mississippi, do you hear that? Go pick up Mythbreakers. Pay attention. Mississippi is just in the process of approving Diebold machines, the same ones that are thrown out of the state of California. Anyway, also be sure to stop by, get your copy of Mythbreakers free of charge or for a small cost. The listener can get a printed and bound copy in the mail. Your donations allow Voters Unite to continue the tremendous work they're doing and will help pay for this advertisement. Also, be sure to get on their terrific daily update list for news and headlines about election reform around the country, delivered straight to your email box 7 days a week. VotersUnite.org. And speaking of which, a couple of items that showed up in my email box from John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. A couple of updates on a couple of past Brad Show stories that I want to hit here real quick before we get to Jim March shortly. Let's see. We spoke last week about the Volusia County, the National Federation for the Blind, who was suing Volusia County to force them to have paperless touchscreen voting machines. We spoke with David Dixon, who is a blind man, but he's going with the county on this. He'd like to have verifiable paper ballots with every vote cast. He says he may be blind, but he ain't stupid, and he wants his vote verified so that it can actually be counted. Go figure. Well, the good news is, as you may recall last week, we mentioned that the suit by the National Federation for the Blind trying to force Diebold machines was rejected. They filed an emergency appeal. And I understand that the judge, the federal judge, has now blocked their appeal. So down in Volusia County, they're going to go ahead with paper ballots with every vote cast. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, You folks down in Volusia County, Florida, can hopefully imagine that soon, because you got enough problems in Florida. It would be nice to be able to count those votes. Did I mention that the National Federation for the Blind received $1 million from Diebold? Yeah. Just a coincidence, I know. Let's see. There's some news. KLASTV.com has some news about alleged voter registration fraud. You'll recall the Sproul and Company issue we spoke about with John Brakey a few weeks ago. Nathan Sproul and his company tearing up Democratic voter registrations prior to election 2004. What? Republicans? Dirty tricks? I don't believe it. Yeah. Press release. The League of Women Voters in Ohio. They are filing a historic lawsuit against the state of Ohio charging unconstitutional administration of elections. In Ohio? Unconstitutional administrations of elections? I'm already beside myself today. I cannot believe this could possibly happen. Not J. Kenneth Blackwell, Secretary of State, and coincidentally, co-chair for the Bush-Cheney Election Commission. Can you tell I've got some opinions about that? All right. Let's see. What else must I take care of? Bush approval rating, lowest measure of his presidency, 44%, says Gallup News. Huh. How did that happen? Must be the media's fault. Actually, Gallup News. Gallup's polls are usually skewed very strongly towards Republicans. So the fact that Gallup is saying his approval is at 44% is remarkable. There was another Quinnipiac poll earlier this week. Put George Bush at 41%. Not that we like to pick on Republicans or anything. Speaking of which, Republicans are on hold. Jim March, let's get right to him. Jim March, Republican, is a member of the Board of Directors of Black Box Voting, our first guest tonight, a national civil rights group dedicated to election reform. He was a professional computer technical support LAN administrator between 1984 and 2000, and regularly did security analysis and documentation of computer products. He began helping blackboxvoting.org founder Bev Harris unravel her treasure trove of files from Diebold Election Systems in July of 2003, and he has been active in the issue ever since. March and Harris were the two co-plaintiffs in a whistleblower suit against Diebold that netted the state of California a refund of $2.6 million last year, and that was before Diebold screwed up again this week. We're going to talk about that with him in a bit. Most recently this week, in fact, Jim was arrested while attempting to witness the vote tallying at last week's mayoral election in San Diego. Brother. Welcome, Jim March, to the Brad Show. How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
Good to have you here. Have they let you out of the clink, have they?
Yeah, they have. They're now sitting on $10,000 of my money, which used to be Diebold's money, because Bev Harris and I each collected a $76,000 bounty on that.
Yes, you did.
Deal. So I've got the resources to fight these guys with their own money. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So they have $10,000 because that's what you had to pay for your own bail to get out?
Yeah. Well, it was funny. There's a very nice activist down there who doesn't want to go too public, so I won't mention his name. Hi, Jim. I won't mention his last name. Loaned me $10,000 and for 24 hours, and I paid him back out of my money. So, yeah, now the bail is my problem entirely. Fortunately, there's no bail bonds, so I'll get it all back. Not worried about it.
And actually, not out of your money. That would be Diebold's money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
It was Diebold's money. It's mine now.
I already have to correct myself. Apparently, I said today was January 30th. I don't want to confuse anybody. It's actually July 30th. And I wasn't even thrown in jail this week. So I don't know what my excuse is. Anyway, so you were arrested. Felony charges. Wow.
Well,
tell us what happened, Jim.
That's the surprise.
Yeah.
What happened was, okay, let's go back. 2 weeks ago, I filed a letter to the Secretary, 2 weeks ago, I filed a letter with the local election officials down there asking them that we, the public, be allowed to view the central tabulator screen and monitor what's going on with the election. I feel that we have a right to do so under Election Code 2300, California law. We have this civil right to observe what's going on.
Right.
And this was written to ensure that the public could make sure that the county election officials aren't stealing elections. Okay, so in the week after I filed that letter, election officials told local activists down there, they didn't communicate with me one bit, but they talked to the locals down there and said that, oh, indeed, yeah, people will be allowed to see the screen and, you know, there'll be a good degree of transparency. So I had scratched the idea of doing any sort of protest like this.
Right.
In fact, I bought round-trip Amtrak tickets, in advance as I was going down there. Saved $10, right?
So you round-trip because you were planning on going back. You were
not planning on
being arrested.
Yeah, instead of spending the night in jail.
Right.
Exactly. So go down there, and at 3 o'clock, we're escorted around. Okay, this is what it'll look like for tonight's election, and they're showing us the layout, and we got a problem because they mounted the monitors so far back from the viewing window that you couldn't see squat.
Okay, now just to be clear here, this was the San Diego City Hall. Where was the county?
No, it was they have a warehouse. They have this gigantic warehouse, and the election division headquarters is out. I forget the address, but no, it's not near City Hall.
Okay, so it's at where they're actually doing the central tabulation of
right.
the mayoral election last Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay, and there's a screen, and continue.
Well, it's in a closed off room with some decent sized windows in it, and a security door that you need an access key to get into, and all the gear is in there. But they mounted the monitor for the central tabulator 8 feet back of the window.
This is the one that you guys are supposed that's supposed to be there for the witnesses to actually see.
See, that's the frustrating part. They pointed it at us and they had the understanding that we had a right to see it. But they mounted it so far back, the only way you could read the screen is with either binoculars or a zoom lens on a camcorder. It's madness. So we complained about that. We said, look, wait a minute. We got a couple of options here. If you got a spare, like one of your extra PowerPoint presentation projectors, we can hook that up and we can spray the signal right at the wall behind us and we can all see it that way. That's one option. Two, I offered to go down to Fry's Electronics, buy a little video splitter, and we set up a second monitor. It cost me like $200, no problem. Okay? Or, if you're not going to do any of that, just move the monitor and the table right there a little closer to the window, shall we?
Right.
And I determined to myself that if they do anything like that to acknowledge that we have this right to observe the election, then I wouldn't do a protest. I did not want to go to jail, okay? But they stayed absolutely rock solid, firm. Nope, we're not going to accommodate the public in any which way, any ways whatsoever.
Now, let me break in here. Now, that monitor that was 8 feet away from you guys,
mm-hmm.
was that the same one that they were using?
Oh, yes.
So they were using that monitor, and you're supposed to, what, look over the guy's shoulder?
Apparently, look straight through the guy's head, because when the guy was actually sitting there working on it, his head was dead center in the way.
Okay.
Yeah, the madness continues, yes.
Not a surprise. All right, so it's 8 feet away. You offer to go get a splitter. You're going to spend $200 to try to help them set up a second monitor so
sure.
citizens can witness the election being counted.
Yeah.
Okay, how does that go?
Well, they absolutely refused to make any concessions whatsoever. And the other
The Lou Gentile Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentile. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentile.com. The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Future of Radio, the IBC Radio Network.
Are you looking for a long-term, high-growth investment? Are you sick of the here-today and gone-tomorrow companies and stock prices that collapse to zero? Just as in life itself, there are no guarantees on Wall Street, but high-risk investors should check out International Broadcasting Corporation, trading on the over-the-counter bulletin board, stock symbol IBCS. IBCS is focused upon building successful publishing, broadcasting, and media ventures. IBCS is the parent company of the IBC Radio Network, a 24/7 satellite-distributed, all talk radio service. In a little over 2 years, IBC Radio Network has been transformed from an obscure radio service carrying shows found elsewhere into a talk network providing exclusive original material. Shows like Stock Talk Live, believed to be the very first fully interactive 7-hour-long business radio talk show focused exclusively on penny stocks. Another hugely popular show is The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio at its finest. Lou Gentile is not just a talk show host, but a real paranormal investigator. For a conservative political talk show, check out Talk Show America. Each weekday, host JR interacts with his listeners to bring you a unique talk show experience not found anywhere else. Everyone knows the key to success on Wall Street is finding opportunities before they get discovered by the general population. IBCS has recently experienced phenomenal growth and may be on the verge of being discovered. The company is on a mission to make itself a household name. So if you're a high-risk, high-reward investor, we recommend that you take a look at International Broadcasting Corporation, stock symbol IBCS. For more information, visit the website at www.ibcrn.com. That's ibcrn.com. Remember, the stock market is risky and you could lose some or all of your money. You could make money too. This message is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You should never make risky investments without the consultation of a professional investment advisor. This message is paid for by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, stock symbol IBCS.
You need advertising. Without it, no one will hear about your business. Radio is the way to go. Advertising on radio is much more affordable than newspapers, magazines, or television. Advertise your website, product, or service to intelligent, savvy, and moneyed listeners of a 24/7 talk radio network. The IBC Radio Network is the way to go. For more information, call 509-466-3413. That's 509-466-3413. The IBC Radio Network, the future of radio.
Paul Booth, Ed Balkley, John Carpenter, Kevin Clement, Roger Corman, Don Coscarelli, Wes Craven, Guillermo del Toro, Mick Garris, Lou Gentile, Stuart Gordon, Sid Haig, Toby Hooper, Lloyd Kaufman, Alfredo Leon, Lucky McKee, Robert Parigi, George Romero, Eli Roth, Tom Savini, David J. Scal, Mike Verani, Joe Wolf, Rob Zombie. These are the people on the creative advisory board of the Horror Channel. Are you a horror fan? Coming soon, the only 24-hour cable and satellite network dedicated to horror fans around the world. For more information, visit their website at www.horrorchannel.com. That's www.horrorchannel.com. Please call your local cable and satellite providers and tell them that you want the Horror Channel. Make sure they log your call.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com.
Attention pet owners, how would you like your dog or cat to behave instantly on command? Now you can with a pet trainer. So easy to use, it's like having a remote control for your pet. No electric zaps or shocks. This simple handheld device uses safe and effective ultrasonic sound that commands your pet's attention like magic. Here's how it works. Say your dog jumps on your best furniture. Just press the button to emit the sound. As he snaps to attention, give the command to get down. As soon as he obeys, praise him for the good behavior, and that's it. Veterinarian and endorsed, Pet Trainer is the humane way to train pets, whether it's non-stop barking, chewing shoes, pestering house guests, you name it. Plus, it's the animal-friendly way to deal with unwelcome strays or neighbors' dogs. Satisfaction guaranteed, so call now to try it risk-free. Pet Trainer, just $19.95, plus shipping, uses 9-volt battery not included. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-418-8877. That's 1-800-418-8877. 1-800-418-8877.
The Future of Radio, the IBC Radio Network.
what is wrong. And the evidence is clear, I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And is not worth fighting for. This is a democracy. We'll fight to keep it free. You won't go telling me our vote.
Yeah, it is well worth fighting for, and that is what we do here at The Brad Show. I am your friendly citizen investigative blogger, Brad Friedman, back with, that was smooth. That was smooth, Gregory. I heard that. That wasn't you? Oh, okay. Trouble on the track. Okay. Anyway, we're here with Jim March from blackboxvoting.org. Activist and apparently troublemaker arrested at last Tuesday's San Diego mayoral election. We were just at that part of the story where he was. And you can give us your calls if you want to talk to Jim, 323-650-1286. He was observing the election counting going on, and they decided to show him the screen about 8 feet away so nobody could see nothing. And as soon as they opened the door to the counting room, he walked in and the police surrounded him. And I believe that's about where we were in the story, Jim.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they grabbed me by the back of the belt. It was pretty funny. But there was no violence. They didn't hit me. I didn't hit them. That part was when all went cool.
Right.
Pretty professional operation on the part of the police. Now, what's interesting, the first thing they told me when I was in the back of the car outside is, well, you're not being arrested yet. You're just being detained while we figure out what they want to do with you in there, okay, they being the election officials. Then law enforcement told a couple of the other activists who asked, well, Ms. March will probably get an infraction or a misdemeanor or some bloody thing, and he'll be released pretty soon. But then after quite a while, like 45 minutes or so, the news came out from the election officials that, nope, they're going to try and bust me with a felony. California Election Code 18502, I believe the number is. And it's a charge of interfering with an election official.
Yeah, let me read that charge here. I have it. Any person who in any manner interferes with the officers holding an election or conducting a canvass, or with the voters lawfully exercising their rights of voting at an election as to prevent the election or canvass from being fairly held and lawfully conducted, is punishable by imprisonment in the state prison for 16 months or 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a felony charge.
Yeah. Well, the good news is this. There's two elements of it. One, you have to interfere with the official or a voter, but that's not the picture here, not the voter. And you have to do so in a way that essentially messes with the election, that harms the conduct of the election. Well, that latter I simply didn't do. I mean, I did not slow down the processing of this election for more than maybe 3 seconds tops. Okay.
Right.
I did not touch anybody in there. I certainly didn't touch or reach for any voting machines or other equipment. So they're not going to make that charge stick. There's just no way.
Yeah.
The other issue is they were violating my civil right to observe the election.
Well, didn't they let you observe the election, albeit from 8 feet away?
No.
No.
Because, well, first of all, if you look at the intent behind those laws, there's actually 4 different observation laws.
Yeah.
Okay, but the most significant of them are Election Code 2300 gives you the right to observe the election. That's not aimed at the officials there. That's aimed at the public. We have an affirmative civil right. Then there's matching laws that force the election officials to allow people to observe. The most important of those is Election Code 15204, I believe it is. Give me 1 second.
Sorry.
Election Code 15204,
yeah.
That one says, all proceedings at the central counting place or counting places shall be open to the view of the public, but no person except one employed and designed for the purpose shall touch any ballot container. Okay. But it says all proceedings shall be open to the view of the public.
Right.
Well, if you look at the intent behind that, it was meant to prevent fraud. It was meant to allow the public to make sure that the county election officials don't steal the election. Well, in order to do that, you have to provide a very high level of access, not a low level of access, not whatever access is convenient or at a whim, but a high level of access. One of the things that the election officials told local activists down there is, well, maybe we'll give some more viewing opportunities on that monitor next election for November. You know, maybe we'll split the video signal or run a projector so everybody can see the screen. Maybe we'll do that in November.
Like
we're not going to do it right now.
Like
that's what they said.
Like they're doing you a favor to let you watch
sure.
their counting. Now, is that those election codes? Those are California election codes, right?
Absolutely.
Or those aren't federal?
No, this is all California law.
Now, in general, around the country, do folks have the right to witness the tallying of votes?
The vast majority of states have some similar rule. It varies state by state in the details. But in general, the history of this country is that if elections are going to be stolen, the ones you got to watch for most are the county election officials. And there's laws in place that allow the public, or sometimes it's limited to political parties. In California, it's more along the lines of the public. Can observe election. Now, California does have one rule that is more the political parties. Each political party can hire up to two programmers to go do an in-depth examination of an electronic voting machine. So that's one civil right that political parties have that we, the people, ordinary citizens, don't.
Uh-huh.
But in other states, that kind of thinking is even more extreme, where it's in the hands of the parties, not the people. In California, it's firmly in the people's hands.
Okay, let me ask you, a non-believer, speaking of being able to witness your accounts, and I would recommend, by the way, folks out there, next time you got an election, go to the, find out where they're counting that vote and observe. Pay attention to what's going on, because last November, I'm sure a lot of my listeners recall, and non-believer over at bradblog.com reminds us, about Warren County, Ohio, where they had a lockdown on election night. It was one of the last counties to come in. They locked it down. They said it was because of a homeland security threat from the FBI, and there was none. The next day we found out, well, there was no such thing. Now, non-believer asks on the blog to ask you, Jim, what kind of voting machine, because they're having an election coming up in Ohio District 2, a special election next Tuesday that Paul Hackett, a Iraq vet, the first Iraq vet to run for office, he's running a Democrat to unseat the Republicans, has gotten a lot of support from the blogs. And so folks down there in Ohio or anywhere near, by the way, I got a call today. They could use some more folks on the ground. It's looking good, but hey, head out to Ohio and help them out. Now, long way of asking non-believers' question, which is, if you know, Jim, what kind of voting machines are going to be using in that special election in Ohio next Tuesday, and is Black Box Voting going to be monitoring that special election?
Well, Black Box isn't. We're in contact with some people out there. I know Case Ohio is going to be involved.
Yeah.
And there's some very good people involved. I know Bob Petrakis is there. Bob and I talk all the time.
Yeah.
There's going to be some eyes on it. You know, it's a good point. I would like to see one of us out there, but I can't promise at this point. We are pretty swamped with a lot of stuff across the entire nation. But believe me, there will be some people competent in the in order to effectively watch any of these elections. And unfortunately, my internet connection is down while we talk.
Right.
So I can't look up exactly which machine. But you need find out what machine it is. If you want, email me, jmarch@prodigy.net, okay? And I'll, as soon as we're done with this election, with this conversation, I'll find out which machines it is.
Okay.
Which county is this again?
That would be Ohio. It's in Warren County, non-believer says. I haven't checked that out.
Okay, Warren County. Well, I'll find out as soon as we're done. Really, you have to have somebody who's experienced in the particular things that can go wrong with that particular system. Like, I'm pretty good with Diebold, and Black Box has a few other people who are real hot with Diebold. There's a gentleman in Riverside County named Jeremiah Aiken, who's the nation's number one expert out, you know, outside of the industry itself who knows Sequoia. He knows the Sequoia system backwards and forwards.
Right.
We've got a few people like that around the nation we can call on for at minimum advice if we can't actually get them out there. So it's important when you're looking at the system to know what kind of system you're dealing with and know what kinds of things can go wrong.
Sorry about that. Okay, I've got... stop making fun of me, Gregory. He's in... never mind. Yeah. I want to get to the Diebold issue out here. Diebold had their... California held a huge mock election.
Yeah.
And they found, probably not to your surprise, Jim March.
Oh, boy, but, well, here's the surprise there.
Yeah.
Actually... Bruce McPherson dinged him really hard, all right, but not so much on security issues as basic functionality. Machines crashing and glitching.
Yeah.
Paper, the new roll of paper, which we call the toilet roll, the toilet paper verified voting trail
right.
system, where it's got a reel-to-reel, it just looks like... Well, it looks like toilet paper.
A little thermal, paper that kind of get on a credit card receipt that disappears,
yeah,
melts away
so
in your pocket.
It's so small that they're actually providing these little stupid little Fresnel lens $1.98 magnifying glasses, so you can see what's on the screen or what's on the text. It's ridiculous.
Are you serious? They're really giving magnifying glasses?
They've mounted a magnifying glass in front of it. It looks like something out of the movie 1984. If you remember that, how they had these cheap little 5-inch monitors and they had a Fresnel lens in front of it.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
yeah. Shades of 1984, the movie. Anyways, but basically, Diebold set out to say, okay, well, we're going to have to put a paper trail in, so let's come up with one that's as crummy as we possibly can make it.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like they did. Anyways, the paper jammed. It was a big mess, and Bruce said, no, I don't think so. So now, down in San Joaquin County, they've got over 3,000 voting machines they cannot use for November. San Diego has 10,200 of these stinking things sitting in a warehouse, and I saw them. Do you know how much room 10,000 voting machines takes up?
God.
It's like a football field.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The machines piled for miles.
God.
So anyways, they can't use them. They're stuck there. Oh, what a hilarious mess.
Unbelievable. I don't have the article right in front of me. I covered it over at Brad Blog, though. One of the folks who had said about this was that for years, you know, voters have been reporting that screens jam or their screens freeze up. Finally, they have proof. At least 10% failed. And Bruce McPherson has rejected, I hope, once and for all, these crappy Diebold touchscreen machines.
Well, I'm afraid it's not quite once and for all.
No?
What he's said is, that, you know, if they ever fix this stuff, they're invited to come back and try again. He did say that. But San Joaquin has made the decision that there's no way it can be made right for the November election.
Hi, this is James Arthur Yanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, inviting you to join me on a road to truth via the path of non-contradiction. Join us each week on Feet to the Fire, a show with the goals of examining a subject matter on its own merits and test how it stands up to the many possibilities found in reality, all without pre-drawn conclusions found in personal bias. No left or right wings here. No pounding the pulpit of ego-driven my way or the highway attitudes. But there are no free passes given either. Answers to questions are important, but equally important is the reasons and methods used to find the answer. The lack of contradiction is the final judge here on Feet to the Fire.
Feet.
Sunday evenings, 8 to 11 Eastern.
Fire.
Live on the IBC Radio Network.
It's no secret that the trick to making big money on Wall Street is finding out about a company and pre-positioning yourself before it gets discovered. Check out Viper Networks Incorporated, ticker symbol VPER. Viper Networks is a diversified technology development company that markets innovative products and services. Viper is becoming widely known for its V-Phone, a revolutionary product for making telephone calls over the Internet. With the V-Phone, you can make crystal-clear international and long-distance calls for the price of a local call. Computer-to-computer calls cost only a penny per minute. V-Phone connects easily to any personal computer with simple plug-and-play technology. As with all investments, you should consult with a financial advisor before getting involved. This announcement is paid for by VPER and is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You could lose some or all of your money. You could make money, too. Learn all about Viper Networks by visiting their website at www.vipernetworks.com. That's www.vipernetworks.com.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com. Life Enthusiast Co-op offers anti-aging and age reversal supplements that help rejuvenate and enrich your body. Visit their website to learn more about these products at life-enthusiast.com.
Finally, an FM transmitter for your PC that works. Introducing the all-new PCI Max 2005. PCI Max 2005 is a computer card that plugs into any existing PC and that will change the way that you listen to your MP3s or live audio forever. It will effectively change your PC into an FM radio station that is FCC Part 15 legal. For more information, visit their website at pcs-electronics.com. In 2004, IBC had a major hard drive failure on a computer that housed all of our audio commercial backups. I thought we were going to have to shell out big bucks. Until I stumbled across a little company claiming their software could do what the $1,000 companies could do. Well, it worked. Get data back. Try a demo today and stop searching for high-priced solutions. Visit runtime.org. That's runtime.org.
Is your name written in the Bible code? Is your past, present, and future encoded in ancient scriptures? Find the answers with Code Finder Millennium Edition Bible Code software. Discover for yourself the enigmatic phenomenon that is the Bible code. Visit our website now and gain instant access to the world's number one ranked Bible code software, Code Finder, used by thousands of researchers worldwide. Find us at www.codefinder.us. That's www.codefinder.us.
The Lou Gentile Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentile. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentile.com. The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
There we go. Go, Jim Dandy. Jim Dandy to the rescue. We're speaking with Jim March from blackboxvoting.org. Our last few minutes here on the Brad Show via Raw Radio, coast to coast and around the globe. And to prove it, we're going to have caller here. Catherine A. is on the line from Ireland in 1 second here. I did want to point out, however, I remembered what I wanted to say before the break, which was Bruce McPherson, who has just rejected the Diebold machines yet again here in California. He's the Republican Secretary of State. And I want to point out Jim March is also a Republican. Yep. I the only reason I need to point that out, Jim, is because, you know, I get a lot of people telling me that I'm just upset that John Kerry didn't win, and that's the only reason why I care. And so it's important to show that there are some intellectually honest Republicans out there.
Well, we are. Personally, I'm a member of what's known as the Republican Liberty Caucus, which is the Libertarian Infiltrators to the GOP, also known as a Ron Paul Republican. I'm not an Ashcroft-style Republican.
A little different. You're an actual Republican as opposed to an opportunist. All right, let me get to Catherine A., our friend from the Brad Blog, calling in from Ireland. Catherine, are you there with us?
I sure am.
How are you?
Great to hear you all tonight.
What time is it out there in Ireland, Catherine?
Let's see. It is just coming up to 1 in the morning.
Oh, brother. Well, thank you for staying. Are you in Dublin?
No.
Where are you?
Not going to tell you over the air.
Chicken.
Come over and visit, though.
I'd love to. I've been there. I love it. Anyway, you're not chicken because you called in, unlike those cowards on the Brad blog who hide behind the open thread. Just a few minutes left here, so what's your quick question for Jim March?
I have two questions for Jim. If he can confirm two things that I heard that went on at that San Diego election, other than what his own experiences. I heard, number one, I heard that some other observer said that when they turned the monitor once so that folks could see it, that it showed that they were actually live connected up to the Internet.
Well, no,
and
that's
even
not
though
exactly
the regulations specify, specifically said that it wasn't.
Okay,
under
here's what we found out.
Was supposed
they
to be
kept saying
to the Internet.
Hang on, Catherine.
SAIC, that Diebold had SAIC.
Hang on, Catherine. Let me let Jim answer that question because we only have a minute left.
Okay. SAIC was hired to create what's called a firewall between the GEM server, the Diebold equipment, and basically the Internet, the county LAN, which in turn is connected to the Internet. Now, that firewall is supposed to allow only a one-way connection, but the county didn't build it, Diebold didn't build it, SAIC built it. So in one sense, yes, the Diebold machine was connected to the Internet in that sense. It's supposed to be inaccessible from the Internet, but if there were any back doors put in that firewall, would basically a router, or if any of the known exploits in some of the routers was discovered. For example, most of the routers in the world are built by a company called Cisco. Go do some Googling. You'll find Cisco has got a number of security complaints out there where people can backdoor their routers. So if anything like that was ever exploited, you could get straight into the central tabulator, and we know that once you've got access to the GEMS box, it's all over.
No one would do anything you want. No one would ever do anything like that.
Of course not.
Catherine's gone? Catherine, sorry we missed your second question there. I apologize. We'll get it to you later. Jim March from blackboxvoting.org. Question from the blog here. What do you think we can do to change the scenario that you just witnessed in California? Is your felony arrest going to make a difference, Jim?
Well, it's not the arrest that's going to make the difference. It's the lack of conviction when I get off. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to waive time. That'll push the whole issue forward within 45 days before the November election. If I can completely beat this charge before then, it'll help to more firmly establish this civil right to observe elections, and it'll put all the other election officials across the state, at least California, on notice that, hey, you can't violate this right to observe the election.
I got to get out, Jim. We're going to keep our eye on it. Thanks for coming. Sorry to cut you off. Colleen Raleigh next on The Brad Show.
Thank you.
Raw Radio.